You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Mutinoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up for you today. After the 10:30 news, he is back.
Who?
Mondays with Mr. Global.
Oh.
Matt Randolph is going to be joining us. He is an oil and gas industry expert. He owns his own oil company. Being called an expert is not something you can just give yourself.
No, you can't. You don't just become an expert one day. You have to work for it.
You have to work for it. You have to earn it. And Matt Randolph has done that. He's got a great YouTube channel. You can find him on YouTube if you look for Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. And he is a very prolific content generator.
Correct. Yes. His YouTube page, which will be in the show notes today, you can easily fall down a deep, deep well of information. And then I would also go to his YouTube page. I'm sorry, his Twitter page, where all of his earlier videos were too, as well. I mean, you could be there for days.
If you have questions about why is gas so high? Why is gas going down? Why does this cost this?
Who do I blame?
Yeah. check out Mr. Global and stay with us. He'll be joining us after the 10:30 news. Next hour, Donald Trump, who promised day one he was going to lower prices, now over the weekend said he couldn't care less if prices go up, specifically on cars.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. The looming tariff announcements, our day of liberation, I believe April 2nd, he said, day of liberation on Wednesday.
I'll believe it when I see it.
So we'll talk tariffs after 11 o'clock. At 11:30, as we do, we try to take a little break for what we call audio sorbet. Lighten it up a little bit. We're going to talk about napping.
We should really get robes for the last 30 minutes of this show.
Robes?
Robes.
Oh, like smoking jacket robes?
Or
just something comfy?
Spa robes.
Spa. Oh, I like it. Do you nap? There's a big article today, actually, about napping and whether or not you should nap. Is it good for you? How long should you nap? How long should you not nap?
At one point, does nap just becomes going to bed?
Right, exactly. So that's after the 11:30 news when we lighten things up a little bit. Do you nap? How long do you nap? And then, as we always do, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Flexing Nemo edition. Calvin's been on a streak. Calvin found this one too. It's a dandy.
Calvin is really good at finding those because you and I go, I know that we go to specific areas to look for them and we'll hit jackpots, but Calvin is just, he's the Tisbat Whisperer.
He is, most definitely. So stick around for Tisbat, as we call it. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Wrapping up the show around 11:51.
Yeah.
Don't forget, this is the second and final week of our statewide Text to Win Break into Spring contest.
Ooh.
After the 11 o'clock news, we will have the word of the hour that you need to text in via the Civic Media app.
Do I have to have the Civic Media app to play this game?
You do have to have the app.
Oh,
just go to wherever you get your apps.
I've been doing this all wrong.
Download the Civic Media app. It's completely free. And then you'll be ready for the word of the hour after the 11 o'clock news. Playing for one of several prizes, a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. They could use some people cheering in the stands. I'm just saying.
Swear to God.
Or $100 in cash, and then every entry gets you into the grand prize drawing. A brand new queen-size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. The word of the hour coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Our statewide Text to Win contest continues this week. You could be a winner. Debbie from Wisconsin Rapids, Gail in New Berlin, Sean in Park Falls. They've all been hourly winners. And you could join their ranks.
Don't you want to be winners like them? Come on.
Just take part. It's fun. Yeah. It really is a lot of fun. Didn't want to start off with, though, wow, the end of humanity as we know it.
I feel fine.
Do you?
No.
Elon Musk. This is in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Vivian Barrett, Jesse Lynn, and Allison Durr. Elon Musk proclaims the entire destiny of humanity rests on the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. There is a lot at stake in this election. There is.
Yeah.
And it is important that you vote tomorrow. Please don't think, and we talked about this last week, early voter turnout has been going really well.
About 500,000 so far.
500,000, which is a lot for a spring election. Please don't think that things are wrapped up and in the bag and you don't have to vote.
Yeah.
Early voting has ended. Tomorrow is the day if you have not cast your ballot yet in early voting. Mm-hmm. Please make a plan to go vote.
Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't honestly disagree with him in his statement because, and this is where I'm going to appeal to people who, you know, they might not be like lefty liberal, you know, crunchy people. But do you want someone who has so much money that they can just walk into a state and influence an election? And as Pat Kreitlow put it, I mean, people can say like, oh, George Soros. Elon Musk trumps that man and even the Hendricks, the Yeelines, all those individuals, doesn't matter what they give money to. He is far and away able to just burn cash in elections. And what I mean by all this is that if he does it here, he'll walk into Iowa next.
Oh, absolutely.
He'll walk into Minnesota next.
Absolutely.
He'll walk into Michigan next. And I guess the thing is do we want to be the first state that sets the precedent that one man can simply just click a button, send a bunch of money one way, and say, well, this election's mine now, and I'm going to go home and play my video games.
Well, it's kind of about whether or not he's allowed to buy Wisconsin,
yeah,
because that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep.
On Sunday evening, Elon Musk addressed a room in Green Bay. Big crowd.
Yeah.
About 2,000 people. In wide-ranging comments, Musk slammed Democrats, touched on immigration, AI, voting, and more. Brad Schimmel himself, the candidate running against Susan Crawford. Brad Schimmel, by the way, commemorative coin fan.
Loves coins.
Loved commemorative coins with his face on it that he bought with taxpayer money. But anyway, Brad Schimmel, who has said he will be there to be a support for the Trump administration.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was his job.
It's not.
As a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. But Brad Schimmel has said he will be on the court to support Trump's agenda. Brad Schimmel was not there last night. But Ron Johnson was there.
Wasn't?
Sean Duffy,
yep,
was there.
Derek Van Orten was there.
Derek Van Orten was there, and Tony Weed was there. They can't make it to your town halls.
No.
They can't make it to talk to their constituents. But when Elon calls, they answer.
And I just can't help myself because I'm a glutton for punishment. Someone on the live stream says that it's his right to waste his own money. And that's true.
Sure.
Absolutely. If I want to waste all my money on an election, I can.
Go for it.
It says, you assume that money equals votes. Very condescending of you. Fine. Every time George Soros cuts a check, they lose their minds. It is I can't believe George Soros is this. It's all George Soros. So condescending of me, maybe. I've been called that before. Hypocritical of you, absolutely. It is absolutely their right to spend their money. But the problem is whenever Soros or a liberal wants to spend their money, you treat it like they're burning down the country with the Constitution. But old Elon Muskie boy,
it's fine.
Doesn't
fine.
Matter. I look past it because I have no sense of standards. Cool deal, bro.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. Elon shelled in about $20 million. Soros, about $2 million. Conservatives will never say what they think about Musk putting all that money in. They just immediately go to, what about George Soros?
George Soros has money. Great.
Well, and to top off the ironies.
Oh, yes. Please tell this story.
Because there was a big counter protest,
mm-hmm,
outside of this event in Green Bay last,
yeah,
night. Dr. Kristen Lierley was there. She was
correct
on Pat Kreitlow's show this morning.
Yeah.
And she said there were a lot of folks out there.
Yep.
On Twitter this morning, Elon Musk with a photo of some of the counter protesters saying, these are all paid protesters. this from the guy who is paying people and stand on stage.
Yeah.
And yes, I will pay you now it's $20. Now he's paying people $20.
Oh, it went down?
To take a photo with another voter to make sure that they're going to vote. But that's all fine. Elon's money is golden.
It's different, Jane.
It's different money.
It's just different. It makes everything they say okay, and absolutely has no. It's such hypocrisy, and it makes me both giddy with laughter and just filled with the greatest amount of rage when people have the nerve to say something like, well, George Soros and J.B. Pritzker, blah, 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 blah. But I don't have a problem that a guy who made his money in the apartheid comes into our country and tries to buy the state.
And
why doesn't that bother you?
Musk, again, according to this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Musk handed out two $1 million checks at the event last night. It was only open to those who had signed his petition opposing activist judges. This did follow a brief scuffle because Josh Call at the last minute on Friday, Wisconsin's attorney general, tried to stop this $1 million giveaway. And even the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court, said no.
Yeah.
They rejected Call's request.
Yeah.
So that's just something to keep in mind. 855-752-4842. Elon wants to buy Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
What's your price?
Pretty much. How much are you willing to spend to buy a state? For $20 million, that's really not a bad buy.
That's a drop in a bucket that's inside of a drop of a bucket. There's tiny buckets because that's nothing to Elon Musk. That's what he spends in Xbox cash a month.
Lunch money.
Exactly.
Ollie and Cindy, we see you on the line. We'll take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
A swing man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, talking about Elon Musk in Wisconsin last night, throwing his support, big surprise, behind Brad Schimmel, who says he will be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court in order to support the Trump administration, which I did not realize that was part of his job as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, but what do I know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Brad Schimmel wasn't at this event, but Ron Johnson, who the only time I ever see Ron Johnson is on Fox.
Yep.
Or OAN or one of the far right networks or on somebody's podcast. We haven't seen Ron Johnson on the ground in Wisconsin in God knows how long.
Yeah.
But Rojo was there. Sean Duffy, our new transportation secretary, was there. Derek Van Orden, who refuses to meet with his constituents, he managed to show up, and so did newly elected Tony Weed, who also apparently is avoiding seeing his constituents like the plague.
When we have Dr. Lyerly on next, she can explain just how unpopular that man is in his own district.
Tony Weed?
To his own party.
Oh, interesting.
This is, yeah.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, are we going to just let Elon Musk buy Wisconsin? Because essentially that's what he's doing. Ollie from the Northwoods on the line. Good morning, Ollie. If you can make this quick, please.
Sure. First off, the person who texted in and said that we were foolish to think that this was a buyout or to say that this was a buyout is dead wrong. And it comes in Elon Musk's own choice of words. He said that by doing this, we decide the House of Representatives, we decide the future of America, state to state, and the future of the world. So don't tell me they're not trying to buy Wisconsinites' votes.
It's pretty obvious, right, Ollie? I mean, he is paying people. He is actually putting money into people's hands, which I still question how that's legal. There's a whole bunch of questions there. But yeah, he wants to buy Wisconsin. And as Greg said when we started off with the show, this will be the first of many.
Yes.
If Brad Schimmel wins here with the support of Elon Musk, then this is the playbook we're going to see across the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
Essentially. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate you checking in. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. What do you want to say about this?
Well, I have two things. First of all, the Wax Museum monster has bought Wisconsin. It's pretty obvious that he has paid off the Third Circuit District Court of Appeals, because what that monster is doing is buying votes and bribing people. That is unconstitutional, but apparently not anymore. And the second thing is, did you hear the moron in charge? The convicted felon, the convicted rapist, has not been in office more than 3 months, and he's already talking about running for a third term. This man is so deranged. I don't know how anybody can support him anymore. He's just mentally disturbed. The man needs to be impeached, removed from office, and then put in a psych ward where he's put in there permanently. He is just mentally damaged.
Appreciated, Cindy. Thank you for calling. And as always, thank you for listening. Don't forget, though, with this whole running for a third term, there are Republicans in office who are trying to make this happen.
They've been trying to make it happen for a while.
Right. But I also think, and we talked about this right after he was elected in November, beware of squirrels.
Yes.
There's so much out there that is intended to distract. Mm-hmm. And I think right now they're trying to distract from Signalgate.
Yeah.
Which is a big should be a big concern for all of us. Mm-hmm. How our elected officials are handling sensitive information, that seems like that's a big thing.
I've already seen articles and people posting saying, well, the U.S. government hates Signal because Signal is so encrypted and so safe that they don't even know what to do with it. So they really get upset when leaders use that app. It's like, no, that's not true at all.
I don't think that's No,
this is about protocol and making sure that our secrets stay secret, not accident. There's a difference between a text chain on an unencrypted line and accidentally inviting a reporter into your group chat, which just makes you look stupid.
Not very aware.
No, very.
One could say
not very much. You know, deserving of a job of the high importance that they have. But you're absolutely right, Jane.
I do. I think it's a squirrel. It's something that we need to keep an eye on. But I think that there are other things that we need to stay focused on, including Signalgate and Elon essentially trying to buy elections around the country. I think right now that takes more priority. But I hear you, Cindy. It's a concern.
Yeah.
Because there are some who will try to make that happen. Constitution, throw it out. It doesn't really work anymore. Let's just get rid of it.
I think another thing that is definitely not a squirrel, and we're going to talk about it until tomorrow. Voting. That's not a squirrel.
Get out and vote.
Get out and
please
vote.
Please make a plan to vote tomorrow. The polls will open at 7. They'll be open until 8 p.m. Not only the Supreme Court race between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel, we have Brittany Kinzer and Jill Underley facing off to head the Department of Public Instruction. And there is a completely, in my estimation, unnecessary constitutional change to make it more difficult for people to vote, essentially. So myvote.wi.gov. If you're not certain where to go, if you're not certain what's on the ballot, all you have to do is put in your address and everything will come up. So please check it out, myvote.wi.gov. You still have time to call some friends, take some friends with you if they have transportation issues, and then go to lunch.
Really quick, if you're listening to us up north and you voted at the Hodag Dome.
Yes, big. That's important.
Your voting place has changed. So important to go to MyVote or call your local clerk's office, even just to confirm, because things like this do happen. They have made a change and they'll be on the website. But yeah, be informed on this. MyVote.wi.gov.
News is coming up next. When we return, we will be talking to Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. We'll be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We know it, and I feel fine. It's me, time out the world, some time alone. It's me, time out the world, some time alone. It's me, time out the world, some time alone. And I feel fine. It's me, time out the world, some time alone. It's me. Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to welcome him back. Mondays with Mr. Global, Matt Randolph is here. Good morning, man. How you doing? Fancy schmancy microphone you got there. Wow.
Is it the right day? Am I here at the right time?
You have the right day. Matt showed up on our stream a couple of weeks ago on a Monday. I'm like, Matt is here. Why is Matt here? Yes, you are. You have the right day. Hey, if you want to join us on more Mondays, we'll always be happy to have you. But
I'll skip out for an hour. You can just hang out. It's fine.
I don't know what I was thinking that morning. I got up and got ready. It was ready to go. And then they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, what?
We would have talked to you, too, had we not had a guest already. And
we had a previous guest. Otherwise, we would have grabbed you. But if you are not familiar with Mr. Global, Matt Randolph is an oil and gas industry expert. He's been in the industry for more than 30 years. You do not get the label of an expert just because you say, hey, I'm an expert. This is actually something that you have to earn and be named as. And Matt, you're very prolific on your YouTube channel. If you're looking for Matt on YouTube, just search for Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. And you cover all kinds of different things, but you have a way of breaking down, especially when we're talking about oil and gas and the prices of things and how it works, that is just so easily digestible for folks who aren't in the business, which is one of the reasons why we love talking to you so much. And we also love having you because you have enough facts and experience to annoy everyone. It's a gift, Matt. It's a gift that you have.
Yeah.
Teach us, sir.
So I wanted to start off with this because, of course, Donald Trump running for his second term promised to drill, baby, drill. And he's going to get rid of all the regulatory red tape so that America's energy is just going to be unleashed on the world, even though we've been doing pretty well for the last couple of years. But this jumped out at me from the Bulwark. Adam Trumbly was the superintendent for the Osage Agency of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which oversees oil and gas drilling on Osage Nation. He got fired last month as part of the DOGE budget cuts. And then because, of course, it was such a good decision, they ended up bringing him back. because they come in with a chainsaw without knowing what people do and blow them out. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you have the nuclear codes. Maybe we need you. So I'm curious, because you're in Oklahoma, what are you hearing from fellow oil and gas producers?
It's not good. So just there's a lot of uncertainty. A lot of people are looking at maybe even getting out of the business, honestly. But the thing about the oil and gas industry is we have to know what's going to happen, or have some idea what's going to happen moving forward for us to plan our business. Yep. And that's just not a thing that exists anymore. So I don't know if you saw the comments to the Dallas Fed from the oil and gas industry to President Trump, mm-hmm. but it was very scathing. So
that was one that we were actually going to bring up as well. The letter that you read, I saw that. And I was like, you know, we have this mindset, at least I do. If you are of an age and older, the Republicans and the oil industry, they love each other. There's a partnership there that love it or hate it, but there was always this thing. And now it seems, especially in this age of misinformation where they're saying drill, baby, drill. And as Jane said, we are doing that. The oil industry is at this point where they're throwing their hands up saying, we don't know what to do anymore. As you said in the letter, $50 barrels and what was it, was drilling more can't coexist with each other, because $50 barrels means there's less drilling. Am I right?
Yeah. And one analogy I like to use, you know, Jane, does $50 buy you what it used to?
No.
Exactly. And so it doesn't buy oil companies what it used to either. And we've been stuck on this $50 break-even thing for like 15 or 20 years. We've been saying $50. Mm-hmm. $50 isn't what it used to be. And 50 is the new 70, right? It takes about $70 to buy what $50 used to buy. And inflation impacts corporations just like it impacts people. It's no different, right? They don't get special costs because they're corporations. So, you know, the thing is, it takes massive reinvestments of capital continually going into the upstream part of the oil and gas industry to continue to produce oil. And with the nature of this business constantly requiring massive reinvestments of capital, a little bit of jittery, you know, a little bit of uncertainty, and they'll pull that money. They can put that money anywhere. They don't have to invest money in oil. These people are billionaires. They can park their money in healthcare or pharmaceuticals or technology. They don't have, you know, they're not loyal to fossil fuels.
Right.
They can put money anywhere. So people will put their money where they think it'll get them the best return. And right now, that's not oil and gas.
And just to break it down to its most simple level, when Trump said again, we're going to make energy so cheap, it's going to be so cheap, and Americans are going to be delighted because it's going to be so cheap, it gets to a point where it is so cheap, it is no longer valuable for oil companies to produce this because they're not making any money on it, right?
Yeah, and there's also, you know, other impacts. So if you make oil super cheap and you actually, let's say we got OPEC to increase production significantly and make oil really cheap. A lot of our natural gas production comes from oil production, right? Well, we're already low in inventory on natural gas, and we're seeing high natural gas prices because of how much we export. If we make oil too cheap, our natural gas prices will skyrocket. Like, this is a very sort of balanced ecosystem. You can't just say we're going to make everything cheap. That's not how it works.
Right. Yeah.
It's much more complex than that. And people's utility bills, especially like in the Northeast corridor of the United States, where you have a lot of deregulated states, people are getting $1,200 and $1,400 utility bills. You know, that far outweighs any savings at the gas pump. So it's, you know, You can celebrate that you save someone 10 cents at the gas pump, but if it makes their electric bill go up $150 a month, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a wash. Right. Quoting from this article again in the Bulwark, Matt, Shane Mattson is a geologist and the former president of the Osage Producers Association. His family's been in the oil industry for four generations. He said, if you threaten to close the agency without a solution, when really you should triple the budget so we can drill, baby, drill, the effect of that on the industry is kill, baby, kill.
Yeah.
And that just makes, I mean, that just, it kind of blows my mind that they still think they can come in here with that attitude of the chainsaw to the budgets, chainsaw to the jobs, and yet they expect the same or more output. I mean, one of the things you mentioned in that letter to the Trump administration was the fact, and we've talked about it many, many times, is that oil and gas, any big business, hates uncertainty.
Absolutely.
And this is what they're throwing them every single day. And I mean, a guy gets fired, he gets brought back. How comfortable can that person be in their job knowing that the next Wednesday they'll get fired again? So how it's affecting oil and gas, and what will happen if people are walking away from oil and gas, as you just said, where are they going to? I mean, that's the question I would have.
You know, I said all along that the oil companies supported Trump because they wanted him to get rid of subsidies for EVs, and that's how he was supposed to help the oil companies. And I think they, you know, I don't think I had any special knowledge. I think they knew all along that he was going to do these things, and they're willing to deal with this for 4 years. If it gives them a better competitive advantage in the market over renewables and EVs, because that was the source of their vote. That was the source of their support. It wasn't what he was going to do for the industry. It was what he was going to do to renewables and EVs. That's why they supported him. But so they'll just fight this for 4 years. But one thing Donald Trump didn't count on, if you remember, at the end of the last Trump administration and throughout COVID, shortly after that, it came out that, you know, Scott Sheffield with Exxon, my mind just went blank, the guy from Hess, these guys were having conversations with OPEC leaders, right? And the Federal Trade Commission came out, they investigated Pioneer, possible collusion between U.S. oil companies and OPEC to keep prices high. Those relationships have been established. And now OPEC is like, we're not doing business. We're not increasing production. We're not helping you. This is a totally different scenario than it was in the first Trump administration when he was able to get them to increase production and lower prices. Now the OPEC oil ministers are talking directly to U.S. oil companies, and they are working together against Donald Trump. So this is a totally different scenario.
But I think it's important, Matt, that folks realize that when Trump got OPEC to increase their output, that hurt producers here.
It did, and it also hurt them because it was based on a lie. You know, he double-crossed them. So, you know, he damaged those relationships himself. And
it's just a lot to take in.
It is.
It's just a lot to take in. This in particular is really going to hurt smaller producers. Like you said, the big guys and the Exxons and those guys, they can ride this out forever, right? But there are smaller producers like you are, who this really has a direct impact upon the smaller producers.
Yeah, and so, you know, I am heavily weighted in natural gas, which means I produce significantly more natural gas than oil. So, you know, this isn't impacting me a lot, you know, but a lot of small producers, you know, you're either heavily weighted in one or the other. You have really good balance, you know, 50-50. A lot of small producers just produce a lot of oil and not much natural gas. And they will definitely be impacted more than anybody.
So for you, I mean, you've spoken a lot about the natural gas situation as far as the amount we produce, the low price that we have. I mean, for you as a producer of natural gas, what is your where do you want to see that go then to make it both accessible for the people, but also, you know, put money in your pocket?
Well, so kind of what's going on with natural gas is that it's not that the current natural gas prices are making people's utility bills skyrocket, because we saw $9 and $10 natural gas back in 22, like after COVID, when everything spiked, so did natural gas. But what's happening is utility companies are using these prices to justify exorbitant delivery fees. So I've looked at probably 300 utility bills. People just send me their utility bills. Yeah. Like, explain this to me. And
why is this happening?
Yeah. Why? And they make the, you know, when they print out your utility bills, it is done strategically so you can't understand it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing people need to know. You're not supposed to understand that. They don't want you to understand that. But what I am seeing every time I look at these, it's not the charges for natural gas use, it's delivery charges. And that's something that's largely unregulated. And so they are gouging people on delivery, just sending the gas to their house or sending the electricity to their house. That's where they're gouging the people, but they're using higher natural gas prices to justify it.
As the justification. And essentially, they're just tacking on more fees. These are like the unexpected fees that you get when you buy a concert ticket and all that stuff. That's kind of what they're doing.
Well, it's,
if I'm looking at a $1,200 bill, $600 of it will be for delivery charges.
Well, and when you said the bill, the first thing I actually thought about too was a medical bill. They want that medical bill to be 10 pages long, so you don't call
you give
billing
up.
And you say, hey, can we negotiate this $300 sandwich?
We're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is here. If you have a question, if you'd like to point out how he's wrong, please call.
Yeah, I dare you.
855-752-4842. It always goes so well. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, it continues. This week, our statewide text to win Breaking the Spring contest. You want to be listening for the word you need to text in next hour via the Civic Media app. You could pick up one of three great prizes: a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 in cash. And then everyone who enters gets into the grand prize drawing for a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo. So stick around. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. That's the only way to enter. After the 11 o'clock news, we will give you the word you need to text in, and then you will be in the running for all those great prizes. Delighted to have him join us. It's Monday with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is here, and I wanted to share a quote from White House spokesperson Anna Kelly, Matt, talking about the moves that the Trump administration is taking, especially in Oklahoma, in getting rid of one of these agencies that kind of oversaw the oil and gas industry. Here is the quote from Anna Kelly with the Trump administration. After 4 years of radical environmental policies that restricted domestic energy production, President Trump has taken unprecedented action to unleash American energy and eliminate red tape for new oil projects. He will keep delivering on his promise to drill, baby, drill, and use the liquid gold under our feet. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we reached record production levels under President Biden, did we not?
Yes, that is correct.
We did.
Well, everyone have a good day.
All right, that's it. Goodbye. But, you know, Matt, it's one of those things that people forget, and people just assume that everything that Donald Trump says is accurate, and that's not so.
Well, so here's where we are. We're in the find out phase. So and I mean that in a good way. We're in the learning phase. people are about to learn that all of these policies and this talk about regulations and all of these things that's been, you know, demonized and politicized and fought over for years, they're about to learn how much they actually matter. I've been telling everyone forever, the only thing that matters is the price of a barrel of oil. Regulations are a four-letter word. And yes, there are instances where overburdensome regulations can have a negative impact. Look at California. But the fact of the matter is, the regulations we've had across the United States in the oil and gas industry are not bad at all. And nothing that Donald Trump is doing is going to help the oil and gas industry or help with prices in any way. The only thing that matters is the price of a barrel of oil, the price of a cubic foot of gas. That's it. That's it. A company that makes $30 billion a year is not going to stop doing that because of a regulation. That's not a thing.
Right.
They don't say, oh, there's this new rule. Oh, I don't need that $30 billion anymore. We'll go do something else. That's not how it works. and that's what everyone is finding out. I'm getting tagged and questions every day. Why aren't my gas prices falling like they were supposed to? Because they weren't supposed to. That you just believed that was going to happen, right? And people just believe, since we had lower gas prices under the first Trump administration, that we will have that under the second. Things are different now. Like he inherited that. And when I tell people he inherited that, they don't believe me.
I'm sure.
People are starting to figure out. People message me, hey, my gas went down 40 cents. What's up? And I say, well, next week it'll be up a dollar. What's up? And then a week later, they message me and they're like, what happened? My gas went up a dollar. And I'm like, you didn't listen to me.
It's almost like this whole thing is on a cycle that's fairly easy to predict, Matt.
It's super easy to predict. Yeah, this is the easiest part of my job is predicting gas prices. It's literally like a child can predict gas prices. There's stuff that's a lot harder than predicting gas prices, but it's super seasonal, right? It's super seasonal.
We only have a couple of minutes left, Matt, but I did want to get your response about this because I know you covered this on your YouTube channel. We have a clip from Howard Lutnick, I believe, Calvin, talking about Social Security and who complains if they don't get their Social Security checks. Matt, I know you talked about this. Let's play this clip, Calvin.
Didn't send out their checks this month. My mother-in-law, who's 94, she wouldn't call and complain.
No.
She just wouldn't. She'd think something got messed up, and she'll get it next month.
Yeah.
A fraudster always makes the loudest noise, screaming, yelling, and complaining.
So does that make Trump a fraudster?
Isn't Howard Lutnick is like a millionaire several times over?
He's a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. Sorry, yeah. Howard, I insulted you. So I guess we can assume that his mother-in-law is kind of going to be okay if she misses that Social Security check, unless he's a really lousy son-in-law.
Yeah, if she's not okay, that says a lot more about Howard than her. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that when he said that, it just was that from the video I did.
No, this is from it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I did a video on that went viral and people just loved because, you know, I explained how completely out of touch Howard Lutnick is.
Yeah.
You know, my mother's on Social Security. If her check didn't show up, she would have a stroke.
And she would call and complain.
Yeah. She'd probably call me first. Where's my Social Security check? Oh, I don't know.
Mom.
Washington, I guess.
Follow him on YouTube and please take your comments and your criticisms to Matt. He is not afraid to answer you. I really encourage you to do that. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, follow him on YouTube. Thank you so much, Matt. Really, really appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
News coming up next, and then we will have the word you want to text in for our statewide text to win contest. Don't go away. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.